Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Sari Flesh. And we just finished a wonderful conversation with Caroline in reference to making memories with movies and music, which is at the Gold Coast Art Center. And the center, really, it's a tremendous operation and organization and top quality everything there. For seniors, I mean, and also for young people, they have programs for all ages there. That's not just a senior friendly art center. Now, this is for seniors only. We have Julie Ward Abdu, who is a senior health insurance coordinator. And one of the most perplexing things as we age is trying to figure out health plans. It really is. It's so I get questions, and it has nothing to do with me. I say, I don't know what to do. Look it up. But it really, it's just the amount of information overload and the number of plans and the letters and the numbers, and people are just dizzy with it. So, Julie, thank you for coming. Good morning.
Good morning.
And how did you get involved, first of all? I always like to ask people, like, this is a very, in my mind, difficult and very important, but very difficult subject.
Well,
how'd you get into this?
Well, it's a very interesting question, and I'll give you a brief synopsis.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I was in the fashion industry for 25 years, and I burnt out. And I decided that I was going to take a little time off and try and reinvent myself. And I did one thing. I failed. And I put my resume up on Career Builder. And I was contacted by MetLife and John Hancock because they thought I was entrepreneurial. And I actually went to MetLife. And I started doing insurance with MetLife in 2009. And at that point in time, I stumbled upon Medicare. And the more I explored it, the more I realized I had a passion for that versus life insurance and annuities.
Okay.
So I branched off, and I became very involved in the senior market and Medicare. And now I'm doing that full-time, and I've been doing that full-time since 2010.
Through MetLife or individually?
Individually.
Oh, okay, terrific.
Mm-hmm. I left MetLife. I did it with MetLife for a year or two.
Okay.
But then at that point in time, my business with seniors was growing so much that I didn't have enough time to do both. So I left, went by myself, and started helping seniors.
Okay.
How do people know about you?
I do a lot of networking. I teach in evening courses at continuing education classes throughout Long Island. Initially, I bought leads, to be perfectly honest with you. I had to get started somewhere. And now I work with senior centers. I work with assisted living facilities. I do continuing education classes. I work with group health insurance plans, HR directors. Once you start doing this and people are satisfied with your services, your name just gets passed around because it's such a confusing, overwhelming process, and I make it simple.
Mm-hmm. And there really, in my mind, is not a lot of people doing what you do as an individual. And or maybe there is, but I just haven't come across them.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of people doing this, but it's just like anything. If you have a passion for something, you do it a little bit better.
Okay.
And you become more involved and proactive in, I believe in helping people. I feel like I've been very blessed in life and I want to give back. So what happens is when I work with somebody, I take the time to really analyze their particular needs and help them with plans that are most cost effective for their situation.
I get you. Okay.
Very good.
If I was coming to you for the first time, and so somebody's listening here,
right?
What are the steps? What do they need to know? I mean, like, that's the confusing thing also. It's like, well, you know, there's Medicare, then there's A and B and all this other stuff. And
exactly. What really happens is when people are going to turn 65 or possibly have been on Social Security disability for 24 months, they either are eligible for Medicare and they get a Medicare card, or they have to apply for Medicare. And most people don't understand that. They think that Medicare card's just going to show up in the mail one day. If you're not collecting Social Security, you have to apply for Medicare. People call me all the time. I'm turning 65. I don't know what to do. I'm getting all this mail from everybody. So the first thing that you have to do is apply for Medicare. You can do that in one of two ways. You can make an appointment with the Social Security office and go down in person, or you can go online to socialsecurity.gov and apply for Medicare benefits. Once you've decided that you're going to apply for benefits, you have to analyze your situation, because if you're working and you have employer benefits, you may not need A and B. You may need only A. I'm the one who helps them navigate that process, because that's confusing. Do you just take A? Do you take A and B?
Go simple with me.
A is hospitalization.
Okay.
So A is a hospitalization. B is anything outside of a hospital, doctors, tests, things like that. A is free. So if you've worked and paid into the system for 40 quarters or 10 years, you are eligible for Medicare. If you haven't and your spouse has, you're eligible for those benefits through your spouse.
Okay.
So it's 40 quarters to 10 years that you've had to pay into the Medicare system, and then you're eligible.
So at the age of 66, a person who's fully employed would still have Medicare, and if they go to the hospital, Medicare would pay the hospital, but their private insurance would pay the doctor.
Not necessarily.
Okay. See?
But what happens is this. If you're working for an employer that has 20 or more employees, you don't have to sign up for Medicare. Under 20 employees, then Medicare becomes primary, your group insurance becomes secondary. So let's say you're 65 and you're going to continue to work and you have five employees. You're going to sign up for Medicare A and B. Medicare is going to be primary.
Okay.
Your employer group is going to be secondary or supplemental to that. If you have more than 20 employees, you have a choice. Take A only, take A and B, or do nothing. So if you're not getting or contributing to an HSA plan, I tell everybody, sign up at least for Part A. If you have an HSA where you can contribute, you know, pre-tax dollars,
right,
you can't have Medicare. So, or else you have to lose the HSA. So there's lots of intricacies in making those decisions. That's why you work with somebody like me who guides you through it. Now, let's say you're not working at all. You're retired. You're 65. You're going to retire. Your birthday is in June. You have 3 months prior to June, the month of your birthday, or 3 months past your birthday to sign up for Medicare without penalty. Most people sign up prior, and all Medicare plans start on the first day of the month of your birthday. Unless you're born on the first day of the month, it starts the previous month.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Once you get Medicare A and B, and you pay for B. Now, if you're single and you make $85,000 a year or less, or you're married and as a couple you make $170,000 a year or less, in 2018 you'll be paying $134 for Medicare Part B. If you're not collecting Social Security, you'll send in a check quarterly to Medicare. If you're collecting Social Security, they automatically take the money out.
Okay.
You have A and B. What do you do? Because A is hospitalization, B is doctors. But you need minimally a prescription drug plan, which is Part D. So if you have A and B, you need to sign up at least for a prescription drug plan. That is through private insurance companies. Medicare doesn't sign you up for that. So what happens, you have to look at the different formularies based on the drugs you take. That's how you decide what plan to go on, because not every drug you're taking is necessarily on a formulary.
Right,
each plan has their own formulary. Now, there are plans that have deductibles and plans that don't have deductibles. Medicare says that Part D, insurance companies can charge up to $405 as an annual deductible. So again, that's something you have to weigh. Does that plan cover your generics without being a deductible plan or not? So there's lots of different variations in what to do. I look them up. I run all the plans that are possibly good for my clients, and
with
I explain
the drugs
them
that they're taking.
With the drugs that they are taking,
okay.
Right. Now, the one question that always comes up is, well, what happens if I have a drug that I don't know about and it's not on the formulary? And that does happen, because who knows what you're going to be taking
right.
2 months from now.
Okay.
If that occurs, the doctor has to apply for an exception so that drug could be on the formulary for you, at least until you have the opportunity to find a new plan.
So it would be on just for the duration of that year.
Right.
And then you have to switch to another plan then that would cover that drug if
there is such a plan. You got another exception from the drug company.
Okay.
You know, every year the formularies change. You can change drug plans between October 15th and December 7th for January 1st. That's the annual enrollment period.
Now, just I know it's a business. So why? I think there's like 30 or 40 different plans. Is there?
Well, on Long Island right now for prescription drugs, there's 20 some odd plans.
Okay. Why is it like just say penicillin? A, B, and C will take penicillin, and D won't. So you have to pick a different plan if you're supposed to be taken. It's strictly money. What determines what drugs go with what plan?
That's a question that the insurance companies determine.
That's okay.
They evaluate every year the drugs that are most popular with their population, and they choose to put them on the formulary or not.
And they can adjust that formulary every year?
Every year. They can just adjust the formularies mid-year. So that's happened also. But again, you have to understand that you can really file for an exception so your drug can be covered if you've been taking it.
Right.
Or else the doctor could give you a generic drug so that you don't have to worry about changing plans.
But not every generic drug is covered on every formulary either. And the formularies are tiered, so there's usually five different tiers, a basic generic, a preferred generic, basic brand, preferred brand, and then specialty. So you want to know where your drugs fall, because not every company tiers their drugs the same way.
Well, what happens, like, down the road, somebody develops an ailment, and then the doctor gives them another drug? Does that person then have to drop their company that they're dealing with at that point because the new drug is being added?
I'm going to have to interrupt you. Hold that question. It's a good one, because we have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.